Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Taking more Palestinian land is not only what Israel has done, but what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised that he will do more of if he is reelected during Tuesday's election. He's promising the annexation of Palestinian land on the West Bank. And it doesn't seem to matter that the United Nations already considers all Israeli occupied land as illegal. Let's listen to our correspondent and for the details from Ramallah. But first of all, let's take a look at this package.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has promised to annex illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank if he wins another term in office in Israel's upcoming general elections. Netanyahu says he has made it clear to U.S. President Donald Trump that he would not remove the settlements or a single settler from the West Bank. The pledge has angered Palestinians who say the settlements have been illegally built on their land, which is occupied by Israel. Palestinian officials have also slammed the remarks made by the Israeli Prime Minister.
Netanyahu and the right-wing parties are working to get the trust of the Israeli voters, and there were repeated announcements on land seizure, including in Al-Quds, Golan Heights, and annexation of the major settlement blocks. Netanyahu is also saying there won't be any evacuation of the settlements. It's part of an aggressive policy that, if implemented, will have dangerous consequences.
Palestine Liberation Organization Secretary General Saeb Erekat also condemned the remarks, saying Israel will continue to brazenly violate international law as long as the international community continues to reward Israel with impunity. The resistance movement Hamas has also slammed Netanyahu's comments, saying his dreams of annexing the West Bank will never come true. Experts say Netanyahu is resorting to such measures in order to win more votes in the April 9 election. They say this move is in line with Israel's expansionist ambitions and its repressive policies against Palestinians.
Today, a number of settlements are already annexed and are part of Israel, where the Israeli civil laws are applied to these settlements. The Israeli regime has recently been working on making the annexation of all Israeli settlements, including those built on private lands, more feasible, in a blatant challenge, proving that Tel Aviv will not end its occupation of Palestinian lands.
The international community considers Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem Al-Quds as illegal. Also, according to the Fourth Geneva Convention, an occupying power cannot transfer its population into the territory it has occupied. The Israeli media view Netanyahu's remarks on annexing settlements as an attempt to draw right-wing votes rather than an immediate change of policy. However, Palestinians are suspicious about Netanyahu's threats, adding that the illegal annexation means preventing any possibility to have an independent Palestinian state. Mona Qandil for Press TV, in front of the Israeli settlement of Pesigot, near occupied Ramallah.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Saeb Nimrat, Professor of Political Science, Birzeit University, Ramallah, and Abdullah Hamouda, writer and journalist out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start off in London. And Abdullah Hamouda, what does that say about the nature of the Israeli regime if someone wanting to hold the highest office thinks it is in his benefit to promise that he will usurp more Palestinian land, an act that the international community says is illegal?
Absolutely, it is illegal, but the nature of the Israeli regime is a Zionist missionary, military apartheid, exercising all illegal acts, including violence against civilian population and practicing land grab, expropriating the lands of the Palestinian. And unfortunately, the international climate and also the regional climate helps that. And it was left to Netanyahu to throw this at the last dice in order to win the race for new government in the Knesset election with the support of President Trump in the United States, as if they have done a deal together that Trump supports Netanyahu to win the election and the right-wing Jewish lobby in the United States helps Trump in the 2020 election. And also, I mean, if you look at the scene in the Arab world, we have the dichotomy between the resistance on the one side and those who have a friendly attitude towards Israel, while the resistance like to reclaim the occupied land and establish the state of Palestine by resisting the Israeli violence and the occupation. The others would think that they can induce Israel to give away the occupied land and agree to setting up a Palestinian state through good terms and friendship and partnership. Unfortunately, Netanyahu appears to make use of the resistance to appear in the West as Israel,
okay,
which is the prime force in the region, weak and threatened, while using the overtures from the friendly countries.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I get Saad in on this discussion. Saad, your take on why you think Netanyahu has made this claim right now. You heard our guests in London relating it to the elections, both in Israel and in the United States. Your thoughts on this and timing-wise?
Good evening, Ms. Hashemi, and to your viewers and to your guests in London. And I would like just to address you in, very quickly to say it's the first time I came out with you today after your ordeal in America and coming back to Iran.
Yes.
And we say that we are absolutely with you and we are supporting you.
Thank you so much.
As far as Israeli Prime Minister and also Trump, apparently there is a kind of a good relation now in terms of the elections on both sides. On the Israeli side, they need the support of Trump in order to get the elections for Netanyahu. And at the same time, it's again, Trump also needs Israel and needs the lobby, Israeli lobby in America and the Zionist evangelical to support him also in his elections next year. So I think it's a kind of a mutual relationship between the Americans and the Israeli. But regarding the last statement of Netanyahu, I would like to say something. It's just now became quite obvious to everyone who had illusions or dreams of maybe that we can sit with Israel and negotiate with Israel. This country can't be negotiated with. This country should go all together. It's absolutely no way. It's an unethical, illegal kind of country. It came in a kind of a colonial white country in the region, and even if they took the West Bank, all of the West Bank, do they going to stop really at that side, or they are going to claim also part of Jordan after that, or parts of Syria, or part of Iraq to fulfill their dream of a state from Euphrates to Nile? I think that this country all together is a shame in the face of the whole international community. And there is a huge hypocrisy about the international community in dealing with Israel.
Well, your thoughts, Abdullah, on that. You've heard what Saad has said. There are still some Palestinian factions that believe that they can still deal with Israel or still have talks and try to get a Palestinian state out of this. With the situation that's coming and what we're seeing more and more of course, it's not only the West Bank that they just talked about, but we've seen recently Golan Heights also in Syria that from Washington, and they claim that it's for Israel. And of course, Israel say that that is true. So can Palestinians have any hope in trying to deal with the Israelis in order to get an independent Palestinian state?
I don't think there is any hope whatsoever in trying to be friendly to Israel in order to get the Palestinian state. Unfortunately, the kind of weakness on the Arab side prompts the leaders and the regimes to seek favor from Israel as a password to the grace of the American administration. And both of them can never be thought of to have the Arab interest at heart, and I don't think this is feasible at all. Unfortunately, the division within the Arab ranks shows a state of decay, decline, which can never be traced to anything but the situation in Andalusia some centuries ago. Israel has to be confronted, has to be faced, and has to be deprived from the use of the force to get back and regain the occupied land, to claim that it is a threat to her its existence. There is an agreement that there could be, it can be contained, at least for the time being, from a realistic point of view. But no, Israel invests the resistance in order to claim that it is threatened and justify its aggression and gain support from the United States. But at the same time, the imperialist ambitions and designs of the United States, Israel tried to serve that by presenting itself as some kind of territorial forward battle group based in the Middle East, claiming to be part of the Middle East, while it is absolutely not, in order to secure the Western support, and especially from the United States.
Okay.
I don't think there is any way Israel will concede without being forced to.
All right, well, Saad, what about it? I mean, from Washington, we've seen inflammatory acts taking place from U.S. President Donald Trump, whether it was the opening of the American Embassy in Jerusalem last year, or its recent statement claiming Syria's Golan Heights is now part of Israel. In your opinion, why has Washington made these very controversial decisions that is causing so much tension and has also caused so many deaths during this last year?
Well, it's quite obvious that the Americans are very much in support of Israel. And as a matter of fact, it's not that the Americans are supporting Israel, but we can see traces of the Netanyahu's plans and Israel, plans in America rather than seeing American plans to Israel. So I think now what Trump is doing is he's absolutely supporting the claims of Israel of all the land, not only Golan Heights and the also Lebanese Shibah and El Ghajar, but also the West Bank, and we started with Jerusalem. Statement today by Trump about the West Bank, his statement about the West Bank, he said that I was briefed on the history of the region and I decided this. And who briefed him? It's Friedman. He's the ambassador for America in Israel, which I think he's the ambassador of Israel into America rather. And Kushner, his son-in-law, who's absolutely in support of the Zionist movement, those who are advising Trump. So we are talking here about the Israeli plans which Trump just followed and implemented. The idea of annexing the West Bank, it means that the settlements, you are talking about sea area in the West Bank is 60% of the West Bank, and what will be left for the Palestinians as A and B areas is spots here and there, Pantostans. It will be never be a kind of a state, and I think this is part and the beginning of the what Trump call it the deal of the century, where he's going to say, okay, we will enlarge Gaza and we declare a Palestinian state there. In the West Bank, there will be self-ruling areas under the Israeli control, or maybe, if you like, under the Jordanian, if they wish to do that, in order to control the remaining of the West Bank. No way to talk about a Palestinian state on the Palestinian land, but he's talking about enlarging Gaza on the expense of Sinai Desert and near El Arish, and to make it there for the Palestinians. And this is it. So now the Israeli claim of the West Bank, which supported by the Americans, is absolutely fits the whole issue of this century deal of Mr. Trump. So nobody is going to be surprised with it when it will be declared, especially that it's going to be declared on the Nakba Day, on the 15th of May, which is the Nakba Day for, and this is another Nakba for the Palestinians in this case. The whole idea about the negotiation with Israel or having Israel, there is no more idea of two-state solution. The two-state solution is gone. The Israeli had sabotaged that years ago, and now with America, they ended this dream of having a Palestinian state. No way that Israel is going to allow a Palestinian state within the West Bank or on the occupied territories. So for that, we need to find another strategy to confront this facts, which in this case, as I said, to get out of the dreams and the illusion of the possibility of negotiating with Israel, and to put all our efforts, Palestinian-wise, into the resistance, and to resist this whole project as a colonial project, not only as an occupation of 1967, but Israel as a whole, as an, a colonial project in the region, Arab-wise and Islam-wise. Also, we should have a stand by Islamic countries and Arab countries of a real boycott to all countries which is supporting Israel in any way, to boycott companies that deals with Israel, and really to show that in reality. And
stay with me, Saad. Let me get Abdullah back in on this discussion. Abdullah, when we look at this situation, now Palestinians have responded that they will never allow Tel Aviv to steal more land. I want to see what you think about how this is going to play itself out. If Netanyahu wins, or even does it even make a difference if he wins or not, and that this narrative now has been thrown out there that they're going to annex more land. Your take on this, how do you see it playing itself out?
If you go back to the late 1990s, when Netanyahu was a prime minister in his first government, he actually laid the foundations for no peace and for one state solution, and that it could be a Zionist Jewish Israeli state. Unfortunately, so far this has not been achieved because of the solidarity, steadfastness of the Palestinian people before anyone else. But unfortunately, over the two decades, we have seen the what was called the Arab-Israeli conflict is reduced to an Israeli-Palestinian or Palestinian-Israeli conflict or question, which takes away a lot from this issue and leaves the weaker party, the Palestinian Authority, to negotiate with the stronger party, who are not willing to come to an agreement, just and permanent and fair agreement to settle. Now in this situation, we, I think, heading towards an open struggle which will be spearheaded by the Palestinian people for the kind of one state which will remain. The talk from your guest about enlarging Gaza or getting Jordan involved in whichever way actually is a threat to inflame the whole region. The leadership in Egypt has refused the deal of the century over what it was informed about the deal of the century. From other, I believe that King Abdullah of Jordan has rejected it also. Some parties who are not close to the hub of the situation probably are more keen on it. But this will not play because they are not the parties involved. No financial inducement will attract some parties to be part of that deal.
Okay, stay with me, Abdullah. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're just very limited in the time we have left. And Syed, it appears that both the United States and Israel are becoming more and more desperate, committing serious errors that will have a heavy cost. Your perspective on what is going on? Many say because they have taken major hits by the resistance in the region, that's why they're acting so erratic. Your take on all of this?
Yeah, I think so, because apparently that Netanyahu is trying to seize the moment of having the time of Trump around, knowing that Trump is going to support him totally in any decision that he's taking. So he's seizing the moment of now trying, and that's why the escalation in the whole situation, starting from Jerusalem and then moving to Golan Heights, and now they are talking about the West Bank. So these are coming in a very quick, So it means that Netanyahu is also in a hurry to achieve all these kind of things before the end of first Trump period, because he didn't know that would Trump be again or not. And the only answer to all that, as I said, is the resistance. And apparently, this kind of deal is to establish Israel in the region and against the alliance of the Palestinian, Lebanese, Syrian, Iranian, and Iraqi resistance, which is now forming in the region as a kind of a pact against the American, Israeli, and all those who are in support.
And,
so I
and
think
on that
now
note,
in the future.
That note, I am so sorry. We have the end of the program. Appreciate both of you being with us. Saad Nimr, professor of political science, Birzeit University out of Ramallah, and Abdullah Hamouda, writer and journalist out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Hope to see you next time.